Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda.
To player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be breaking down Club America's victory against FC Juarez. We'll touch upon a little bit of what happened against Tigres in the middle of the week last week. And then, of course, we'll talk about these quote-unquote vacations that America will have prior to the League's Cup and a couple of friendlies that we might need to have to talk about next week as well. And joining me to talk all things Club America, it is in none other than the man himself, Mr. Chris Rivera. Chris, how are you, my friend?
Good. You know how it is. It's that time of the year where we complain about the weather. And, well, I feel fresh right now because I took a shower, but other than that, I'm have a headache later on.
Well, we're glad that you got nice and fresh and dolled up for the podcast. So I'm sure the viewers will definitely appreciate that. But yeah, it's that time of the year. Summer's kicking, and America is going to be feeling a little bit of this heat when they come down to California. Although, granted, maybe not so much since it will be in San Diego, but maybe once they go a little bit more up the coast, they'll feel a little bit of that heat. But yeah. Glad that you're here. Glad that you're on. And we got a lot of America to talk about because there is so much that has transpired within the last week that me and you were talking about in regards to the game against Tigres. We didn't even touch upon the game against Juarez. Time just didn't permit. And then now we're here talking about a 6-point season so far for Las Águilas del America amidst the League's Cup break. I want to start there, Chris. How do you feel coming into this League's Cup break, knowing that America, out of the 12 points possible, and when we started talking earlier in the season, we said all 12 points seemed more than achievable for America. Now we sit on 6 points, so 50%, that's an F by most standards.
Yeah, it's kind of a mixed feeling. I think we did need a break just because you kind of saw there was no chemistry to the way we were playing a lot of the times. You saw a really good 25 minutes against Tigres, and after that, it was just like, who are they, right? And I think that's kind of how you feel throughout the four games that we played, right? Mind you, I didn't get to see the game against San Luis because I was in Mexico. So for me, it's just three games that I'm really judging this off of, and it's kind of one of those things where you feel, like you said, 50%, right? It's perspective. You either see it half full or half empty, right? And that's kind of how I see it. It's we could sit here and be like, okay, cool, we got a slow start, but we could build off of this. Or it's one of those things where, like, okay, you could have beaten Tigres, right? Because you start off really strong. And even I told Dylan, like, in our chat, hey, I thought we were going to walk through them. Didn't happen, right? I didn't see the San Luis game, but again, Jardine knows that squad. We should have beaten them. And then we beat Querétaro, okay, and then we beat Juarez, but it doesn't feel like this team, right? You kind of look around the league and you see Cruz Azul and Toluca, and you're just like, we should be on that type of energy, not necessarily that we're starting slow and we're going to pick up as we go. It should be like, all right, we invested, and even though we do have to put in these youngsters, we still have quality out there. Henry Martin scoring, we should, you know, beat them. We should easily beat them all. And like you said, 50%, you know, to me is more of a, okay, I'm happy the break is here because now it's like you can start gaining momentum in other areas with these friendlies and with these clubs.
No, yeah, and thank God for League's Cup, La Bendita League's Cup, because without it, we wouldn't have this break, and we would be having a conversation of, okay, now we're coming into the fifth jornada, and it's not looking any better for America. So amidst of what everyone thinks in regards to the League's Cup and whether or not it's beneficial or not, America somehow is graced by the football gods and is given this period to kind of get everything sorted out and get themselves together, and also to kind of recover some of these injury players and get some of these transfer negotiations done. So I think amidst of everything, yeah, this is probably the best case scenario for América, was this Leagues Cup happening in the moment that it did, because like you mentioned, some of these results are far beyond poor. You talk about these games, these four games, and mind you, you could consider the Campeones, the Supercopa Mekis, excuse me, matchup as a preparation to this as well. Maybe you add that into the season calculation. But I think that's kind of a one-off, and you don't really take into consideration too much just because it still felt very preseason. So you're judging off by these four games, right? You looked shambles against Atlético San Luis after you had the lead. You let that slip. You looked good, and that's probably your most convincing game is the one you won against Querétaro. But it's Querétaro. They are dead last on the standings. No points whatsoever for losses. Whoop-de-doo. You beat the worst team in the league. Not a big, nothing really to kind of showboat about. And then, of course, you're looking at that Tigres game where if things go one way or another for América, you know, it should have been a victory, let alone a tie. And then Juárez, which you barely escaped with 3 points if it wasn't for that last-minute goal. So it wasn't like you had the most convincing games running down to the stretch of it all. So I think it's been disappointing. I think it's been frustrating. And I think that this is not up to the standards that one, América is, and two, even more so now that you're the bicampeón. So 6 points out of 12, absolutely not good enough. And the thing is, I know a lot of people are talking about this on social media and Twitter, and they're saying, you know, it's fine. We had a slow start last season as well. Give Harding the time to cook. And mind you, yes, I get that. That all fair, because I know that we've had players missing. Injuries aren't helping the situation. But the fact is, America's America. We don't have a luxury of excuses. So I think that's something that we have to take into consideration and realize that, look, the bar is set by ourselves. The standard is as high as it can be. Now you have to realize, okay, you have to show up into these moments, and you haven't done so. So I think it's been very poor from America standard and from an America point of view. So let's start off with Tigres, since that was the last game we spoke about, and we knew that this Tigres matchup.
Let me ask something. Let me add something to what we're talking about, right? Because I think a lot of people kind of do get annoyed at kind of like saying there's no reason to really talk about this negative start of the season. Look, man, if this Leagues Cup didn't, this Leagues Cup thing didn't happen, right? Or these friendlies, we're facing Puebla when we return, then Cruz Azul, and then Chivas. We kind of need these extra games to kind of get things going, you know? Because let's say that those games don't happen. You don't even have Brian Rodriguez back yet. You don't have Diego Valdez back yet. Igor played one game. Who am I missing? I know I'm missing someone else.
Sendejas is still not up to fit.
Sendejas is not back, right? We don't really have a left winger. So, I know Brian's going to be that, but let's be honest. Someone's going to leave, and we're going to bring in someone for that position. Because I think this is going to be a debate, right, between us or in general about how much belief do you have in Brian Rodriguez to be that starting left winger. And then, if you don't have that belief, or if you do, who's behind them, right? I like what Aguirre did this past game, but to me, he's more of a nine that roams than a winger, you know? Like, that's not a guy that's going to be put out there in the wing and just stuck out there. So, you know, I'm looking at the schedule, and I have to say, you know, thank God. And like you told, we had this debate, and I'm sure we're going to touch on that later on, but Leagues Cup. Well, let's say we are one and done, right? And you just stick to those friendlies against Chelsea and Aston Villa. And maybe later on they end up having other games, right? Because I'm sure they won't want to just sit around. Well, are you comfortable facing in 2 weeks after this game against Puebla, against Cruz Azul, the way Cruz Azul is playing? Even Chivas, right? Chivas isn't, like, like has a large margin points, right? They don't have this greater point than us, but they are playing better than us. So we have to look at it. And then losses like that against rivals could really destroy your season. Let's not kid ourselves. Like, if you lose to your rivals, it becomes more of a insecurity type of perspective when it comes to the rest of the season, right? So we gotta get it together with these friendlies and Geeks Cup. That's really where I stand right now. And if we had won the four games, I would probably be like, all right, this is where we kind of get the youngsters to get going, because the minutes thing is also another thing that we need to talk about, right? There's a lot of things that we need to cover this season that a lot of people are probably like brushing it off, which is going to be very key going into the season.
Yeah, no, there's it kind of feels like a whole different world at this point from the one that we were living in last year to the one that we're living in current day. So you're right. I think that there's things that a lot of people are kind of brushing off to the side that need to be addressed and should be addressed, rightfully so, because let's face it, we're already four jornadas in. You know, that's not to say that we're halfway through the season, but you're getting to that point where, okay, you're about three, four more jornadas till you get to that point. And so I think, like you mentioned, that our rivals aren't getting any weaker. If anything, they're going to start getting a little bit more difficult. And so you need this team to get back into shape. You need this team to get back into that rhythm of things. And so, yes, these next added games are going to be vital. It's going to be crucial to get some of these players rested. And I think that's what this week of vacation is doing. And then, you know, get a couple minutes under their belts against the likes of Chelsea and Aston Villa. So we'll see what happens. I think Leagues Cup is going to be a good break as well, and a good opportunity for America to kind of shift focus a little bit and kind of focus, like you mentioned, getting back into playing much better against suitable rivals who you think are going to be kind of going toe-to-toe with you. And so I think that's why I say Leagues Cup is an added interruption that I think should be a blessing in disguise for America, that could potentially do what it did last season, which is kind of mold a team together and get them ready for the league. So we'll see what comes of that. But like we talked about, let's briefly go through this Tigres matchup, and let's talk about kind of what went right for America and what happened that just made it so that America fell apart after that 30th minute of the match in the Volcan. So this midweek match definitely felt like a midweek match watching it on TV. America started off very strong, and we kind of were hesitant as to what America said we were going to get, Chris. But my out-the-box thinking was actually correct in this one. Fidalgo ended up playing that left wing. A little bit odd to see that kind of come to fruition, but, I mean, you don't really have an option, do you, at this point, because you didn't have anyone else available at that point. But things actually looked good. Things were presented in a way that America had opportunities, had chances, and, I mean, Fidalgo had the best opportunity ever, and I think, you know, if he puts that in the back of the net, maybe we're sitting here talking about a different result.
Oh, man. I forgot about that miss. That was so bad, bro. And it's one of those things where just like, man, you can't have those misses. Like, it doesn't matter what position you play. It's literally just push it down and kind of went. It went out. I don't know what he was doing. And it's a shame because it was Javairo that assisted him, if I'm not mistaken. And Javairo has been very accurate with his passes when it comes to that. So it's one of those situations where you can't waste that.
You can't, and he did. And, I mean, now we're sitting here talking about it rather than thinking, okay, Fidalgo gets on the score sheet and we kind of see this game out. But the most frustrating thing about this game wasn't the Fidalgo miss. I think the most frustrating thing about this matchup in whole, and I think Christian shared our frustration, was the fact that America kind of not only took their foot off the gas pedal, but it looks like they were even pressing on the brakes very early on. You know, it's an America side that lost identity. It's an America side that lost idea. It's an America side that just felt like they had no answer to anything. And Tigres kind of just went with it, just played their game. And I mean, even off a foolish mistake that I would say is very routine and very elementary America gets scored on in a free kick and where they leave a man 100% unmarked. And like everyone in the stadium could have told you where that ball was going. And yet none of the America players picked up on it. And I think that was the frustrating thing about it. Javairo did. Yeah, because he was telling them, hey, go.
He pointed it out.
Yeah, very, very elementary of America to let that slip and happen. And I think we all, at least from my perspective, when that goal went in, I felt like that was game match said and done. I saw no way of America coming back into this one, especially with the substitutions that felt very defensive. So I just felt like we didn't have an answer.
And it felt like they were there to cover the minutes.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it felt to me. It felt like it was like they gave up and said, all right, we're just going to go and cover these minutes with these youngsters. And even though Alan Cervantes and Ilian probably don't cover that, the other two were definitely just to cover those minutes. And that's where this season is weird, right? Are you going to try to win your game or are you going to try to cover these minutes? Because I'm looking at it from a Tigres side, and I've seen the whole, I don't know if you've seen the list of teams and their minutes covered and all that. Tigres is dead last. They don't care about that whole academy player minutes or youngster minutes. Like, they're just there to win games. And I'm not going to say that's an excuse on why they won, but it's kind of clear, like, they said, oh, this is not the game that we're going to throw away with these youngsters. And America, while I don't think they threw away, I do think the subs, some of the subs, and I'm looking at the whole bench, not just the subs, right? Emilio Lara, Rosano, Vasquez, Ramirez with the other guys, Espinosa Alvarez, like these were all bench players, and none of them necessarily were for the attack, right? It was more of a just stick them out there and just let them get the minutes, and the game's going to end. We're going to tie the 0-0. And you saw it too when they scored, and Tigres scored, they attacked even more, right? They were still beating us, and there was no urgency. And it's not none of the youngsters' fault. Like, they don't have the experience. They don't know what exactly to do against these grown men, right? Or these experienced players, however you want to label it. They're youngsters for a reason, you know? One of the most annoying things is, for me, is just when you see something promising in a young player and all of a sudden they're like, oh, that's the next guy to go to Europe. Brother, let him play out his career, you know? And same thing here. There's no reason for me to bash them because it's not their fault. If you put them in to close out the game, these things happen. And that's where we're at. Like I said, it's not completely their fault, but I do think Jardinez's mentality was, all right, we're going to slowly start getting rid of these minutes, and once we hit 1,000 minutes, we'll play the season normal. And it's frustrating because I do think if we're a normal league, you would kind of start seeing these adapting players and from the youngsters, right? In friendlies, not necessarily in these type of games, but it is what it is. And like I said, no excuses, but it is frustrating when you start seeing like those type of moves from coaches.
Yeah, and this 1,000 minute rule is going to be a handicap for some teams, and for others it probably won't even feel like much. Pachuca, for example, I think they're the closest one to closing it out already, and four freaking jornadas into it. So I think every team in the league has an idea of how they want to kind of make do with these minutes, and America's kind of on the boat of like, okay, I'm going to play them early on, finish the season strong. Will that work out for them? Will it not? We'll see. I mean, you saw what happened against Juarez. Espinosa ended up playing just for that same reason, so that we can get those minutes up. And so, yeah, it's one of those things. It's crazy. King Crash 04 saying, we were murdering Tigres until Fidalgo missed. And then he also asked, is the League Cup an official tournament? Meaning, is the trophy worth fighting for? The League Cup is as official as you can get in CONCACAF. Take that however you want to take it. But it gives you
a
bird.
It's as real as a BBL. That's all I'm going to say. It's as real as a BBL.
Well, it comes with its perks just as much as a BBL does, right? It comes with an opportunity to get into CONCACAF Champions Cup and a nice little sum of cash. So Some will argue that it's worth it. That's me. Some will argue that it's not. That's Chris. So we'll have that debate a little bit closer as we get closer to Leagues Cup and we preview it officially. And I think it's one of those that, you know, it should be an interesting topic of conversation. So you guys don't want to miss out on that. But back to this Tigres game. Yeah, it was frustrating, the fact that you kind of had no answer. But the reality is, America had no answer from the beginning. Just the makeshift starting 11 already should have told you what a night we were going to be in store for. I think the most shocking thing was probably how good of a first 25 minutes we had. And then after that, well, everything started to hit the fan and we just started scrambling and couldn't find an answer. And I guess that's that. Gershon saying, for me, Javairo doesn't belong in Club America. It's an interesting take from Gershon, because I would say Javairo's probably been one of our best players so far this season. Didn't have the best game against Atlético San Luis, had a good game against Querétaro, had a decent game against Tigres, maybe didn't have the best game against Juárez. So I get where Gershon is coming from, because it's something that we spoke about, me and Chris, is the fact that Javairo needed to be more consistent. But I get it. He hasn't been a 90-minute type of player that through thick and thin is going to kind of win you the game. But he has been good. Has he been better than last season? I think there's an argument to be made, but it's only 4 games, and only time will tell. So.
Yeah. I mean, I like what I see. I think you're starting to see exactly what we needed to see last, or not needed to see last season, but we expected, right? First thing I said, this is a foreigner, doesn't speak Spanish, doesn't have know anything about Spanish culture, Mexican culture, anything like that. So for me, I had patience. I saw the potential. It's 4 games. We're still not seeing that potential, right? We're seeing moments, but we're not seeing the guarantee yet. To me, I'm not going to lose sleep on that, because it's still early in the season. Once these big games start, like, or these games, the important games against Cruz Azul, Chivas, Liguilla, even Leagues Cup to an extent, right, where he's going to see minutes, that's where I want to see him be a game changer, right? That's where I want to see his quality shown. Right now, I'm not going to put pressure on him, because, like I said, it's early on. I'll say this. I think he's more ahead than a lot of his teammates in terms of preseason, right? I think you kind of see sluggish everywhere, and I don't think you see it as much on him. I do think he's a player that needs to have the ball on his feet majority of the games. So you kind of have to play on his side way more, or else he gets very cold, right? And that's one thing that you don't want to see on him, is he just get cold, because let's say later on you do start playing on his side. Well, he's so cold that you're not getting anything out of him, right? So to me, you know, I'm cool with that. I do think he's going to be a key player if we don't end up bringing a left winger. I think you're going to see a lot of rotating, and I think you're going to see him on the left eventually, right? You're going to see Aguirre, you're going to see Sendejas, you're going to see Brian, you're going to see Javairo. You're going to see a lot of players just being moved around if we don't end up getting another left winger, which I really do hope we end up getting someone, because I think we're handicapped until we bring someone. I don't think it's fair to Jardinet to even judge him if we don't bring in a left winger. I think this is back to bringing Santiago Baños, right? Having that conversation about him, because you stacked up the midfield and the most important side was Quiñones' absence, right? And what happens? You bring in Chiquito, which I'm sure we're going to have a conversation about him later on too. Right now, like I said, I'm patient with him. I think we all have our different opinions on him right now. Don't necessarily think he's been bad. But for the price tag, you kind of question what exactly is he here for. Is he going to be Valdez's replacement? Is he here to be a Fidalgo's replacement? Is he here to be a super sub? Like, I don't know exactly what it is right now. So, for me, I'm keeping a lot of my opinions off of Chiquito. But I am looking at Santiago Baños as responsible for all of this if we end up not having a left winger for the rest of the season.
Okay. Yeah. Diego Temo Henry Ochoa. That's a great name, by the way. Jardine said it. We are done with our preseason, meaning we are to see the true team's gameplay, plus Lichnowsky and Cáceres are back. So Diego Temo Henry Ochoa does have a point there. I think for some reason, and I don't know why, I think they wanted to categorize these four games, four official league games, as preseason. But mind that he's saying now that preseason is over, that we should probably see a much better America side. And I do agree to that extent, because you have now a full week of vacation. You have a couple of days in preparation to that Chelsea matchup, another couple of days, and then you go up against Aston Villa. Then a week's break to kind of settle yourself, get yourself into the mood, travel to California, station in San Diego, and prepare for League's Cup. So, yes, I get it. Time is now at America's disposal, which maybe in weeks prior, we didn't have that. So I do see where, you know, Harina's comment is coming from, but I still think that there's still ramifications for what America just did to themselves in this season. And whether we're playing catch-up towards the end of the season and thinking, wow, maybe that victory against San Luis and maybe that victory against Tigres would have been so much more helpful than having to chase those 6 points at this later stage in the season. But we'll see what happened. Maybe we won't miss it at all. Maybe we won't even think about it. Maybe we'll be like, huh, remember we were just all being silly, panicking about the beginning of the season, and now we're sitting here second or first on the table. Then that's a whole different conversation. But right now, as things stand, I don't think Americanistas can be as calm as many paint themselves to be, because I do think that there is worrisome signs that if we can continue to see that, then we're in for a long season. And I don't think that's the long season that everyone is wanting. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, look, it was disappointing to see that America ended up playing the game that they did against Tigres, and 3 points lost in a matchup where I think you should have at least taken at least 1 point. That would have been really, really good. But then now you're thinking and hoping and wondering that this loss doesn't affect you in any way. And then from there on, you move on to the weekend's matchup, which is a game we didn't talk about, but it was a game that we're now going to mention. And that is the game against FC Juarez. So this game, again, another makeshift starting 11 for America with Fidalgo on the left-hand side. But things start off poor, Chris. Look at this giveaway by Richard Sanchez, and look at just this terrible deflection, off the Juarez shot. Beats Malagón, and the ball goes into the back of the net. And that's not even the worst thing, Chris. The worst thing is this is 3 minutes into the matchup, and America's already one goal down against a side that we all should have thought, yeah, America should easily be able to win a game against Juarez. I'm not saying, you know, thrash them 4-5-0, but a game that they can comfortably walk away and do a job. And now you're chasing the game. It's terrible from the beginning.
That's awful, man. And you just reminded me about that Richard Sanchez mistake. Oh my God, man. I have been very anti-Richard for a minute now. I think his time is up. I don't know why they don't just let him go. You know, they're over here promising him minutes. Look, I get it. It's cool to have a midfielder that could attack, right? But then you see those mistakes right there, because you can't defend, you can't play off the back. He's a center mid that's not an attacking mid, but could attack, right? It's just awful, right? I don't know. I'm just not a fan of Richard Sanchez. To me, if you want to get a player like him, and you want to not even get a foreigner, but just a Mexican player, I think you could find Mexican players just like him in this league, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's poor from Richard Sanchez, poor from just a lot of America players in this one. And America then eventually ends up tying the game with a great goal by Henry Martin, a good cross, great header, great positioning. And then America's kind of chasing the game afterwards, not looking the best and not looking the brightest, but eventually a ball that is played into the path of Aguirre from Fidalgo puts him through on goal, scores the goal, and kind of towards the end of the match, America ends up securing this one 2-1. I think a huge sigh of relief at the end of the day. I think at the end of the game, really, honestly, all you can think of is, phew, finally, we kind of escaped that one.
Yeah, and it's, you kind of get leave that game with a good taste in your mouth because it's like that scores, right? And he also had an opportunity before that to score too, but the pitch was bad. It was, the bounces on the ball were really bad, in my opinion. And I don't know if you remember that play. It was similar to the goal, but the ball just never stops bouncing. It's just very ugly, and he just never gets the balance on it, you know. And it's a bad shot because of it. But other than that, like, I was really happy to see Aguirre too. Like I said earlier, to me, he's a nine that roams. He's not a winger. He's a guy that you're gonna, whenever you need a two nines out there, he's gonna be the guy that either pulls his mark and Henry gets open, or Henry pulls his mark and Aguirre is gonna be open. And you need players like that. You don't want a nine that just hugs the line and just waits all game, because it's easy to just erase those type of strikers in the field, right? Because you put the defender on them all game long, and that's it. You know, it's the way I like to say it, or how I like to describe those type of nines, is like those, if you're into NFL, right? They're 50-50 receivers. You're going to throw it up and hopefully they win it. And in soccer, I'm not a fan of those. I like your nines that know how to drop down, how to pull their mark, how to get someone else open, how to just complete nines. And to me, Aguirre and Henry are just perfect for each other, because I think they're able to do that for one another. And it's very, like I said, it's a good taste in your mouth, because you end the game, even though it was a lousy game, right? At least the guy that came in, very questionable signing, comes in and you see the impact right away. And hopefully it continues throughout his time with us.
No, I agree. I think it was important for Aguirre to kind of get that weight off his back, because he was coming in with that criticism of he hadn't scored for like a year in Liga MX. It wasn't his best time in Monterrey, and a lot of people kind of question, like, you know, how is it that he had such a terrible year in Monterrey and yet is awarded a chance to come to America, the bicampeón? But I think he showcases that in that instance, right? Is that he has the capabilities. He has proven himself to some degree, whether it was at Monterrey and Necaxa, that he is a capable player in this league. And now it's his, you know, duty as an America player to come out here and showcase it. And what better way to do so than with a goal in your debut? So yeah, and it was a huge sigh of relief for Americanistas that leave a good taste in your mouth, like you mentioned, because it was much needed 3 points, because you felt like if you did it, if you walked away with that game with a draw, you kind of feel like America then is suffocating and treading water, to the point where you're thinking we might drown here, only because now you're talking about 4 points out of 12. And that's scary, because America should not have had such a low point count. And you know, 6 isn't even good enough, but imagine 4. That would have been terrible. So I think it's one of those games in where you probably don't dwell too much on it, just because, like I mentioned, the injuries, the fact that there's players missing, a couple of players were subbed out due to these minute regulations. And at the end of the day, America was able to kind of make their way through the 90 minutes with a result in hand. And now you're talking about a breath of fresh air, a sigh of relief, thinking now, okay, going into League's Cup, We have a good chunk of time to kind of recollect ourselves, get our players back into the rhythm of things. And we have 2 very good friendlies coming up that are going to test us and get us closer to that level. So I think it's, it was an important 3 points. And I think that's what I would signal this game as, a must-win game that eventually ended up being a 3-point matchup for America. And hopefully the turn of the table for America.
Yeah, man. The best thing is that, like you said, we get fresh air out of this, right? We get, like, I'm always go back to this, but we can use those two friendlies to kind of find out which youngsters are we going to play out there and look at serious, right? And hopefully we see these friendlies and we kind of get an idea of like, okay, you're my guy. If I need someone out there, you're my guy. And I think Jardine is slowly starting to have that idea with Dagoberto, right? But it's still too early to really see here and label anyone, right? We saw the 16-year-old out there, only plays a minute, right? Another player that we shouldn't rush, we shouldn't call a gem yet, we shouldn't call anything. We got to understand that it's a lot of this is very political in the sense that you're only putting them out there to cover the minutes of these new rules. Could mean something, could mean nothing, but we shouldn't really dig into it, right? But there is going to be academy players that are going to be getting minutes. And not all of them are going to be gems. I mean, I'm sure a lot of the listeners and even yourself remembers when we used to have a Gil Buron out there or Rosell or all these like youngsters that really didn't mean anything, right? They were just out there as a sub, and we kind of looked at it like, well, these aren't game-changing subs. It kind of sucks that they're not, you know. But at the same time, we all remember Diego Lainez, right? We all remember Raul Jimenez. We all remember players that did end up having that impact. But you just got to let things play out. They're not going to be those players from one game to another. They're going to be promising, and then slowly we're going to see who they are.
Yeah. I mean, the way I'm looking at it is I think it's going to be 45 minutes of America's best starting 11 against Chelsea, and then another 45 minutes of kind of fielding out, okay, which sub players are going to be good to come off the bench, which youngsters are going to have the most minutes, and who you can rely on in these kind of instances where you think, okay, the game is kind of teetering one way in my favor. Who can I throw in there that won't disrupt the team chemistry? So I think that's what the second 45 minutes against Chelsea is going to be. And I think it's going to be rinse and repeat against Aston Villa, right? You have to get your best starting 11 cohesively working again and looking like the unit that they were. So you need solid 90 minutes under the belt. You get 45 minutes against Chelsea, 45 minutes against Aston Villa. That equals 90 minutes in where you think, okay, I think they're getting it together, so they'll be ready for their debut in Leagues Cup. And like you mentioned, these two games also used to showcase which youngsters are going to come through the ranks and hopefully have decent minutes with America. So we'll have to wait and see. But we'll get into more of that next week when we start previewing America's debut in the Premier League. But with that said, yeah, this Juarez game, like I keep reiterating, 3 points crucially were secured. And whilst it wasn't the best game, and some I would argue maybe not even the most entertaining game, the job was done. And sometimes you have to look back at these ones and say, you did what you did, you got the result, you move on. And I guess it's not much to that than just what I just mentioned, no?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter where in the season it is, it's always an ugly game when you go away at these stadiums, right? It could be the first game of the season, it could be in the middle, it could be in the end. I mean, we played a final there. The Copa MX, and it was the most boring final I've ever watched, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
So, but that's what it is when you go to these stadiums. They're just uncomfortable. It's not necessarily all the opponents that difficult, but the atmosphere is. And I think that's what these stadiums are, right? They're meant to be uncomfortable. And sometimes we need those type of away matches where everything's uncomfortable, because then you start getting an idea of how much of a dog we have in us, right? In other words.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's always that question looming of whether America can do it or not on a rainy night in Stoke. And, you know, if they can do it against Juarez and, you know, other stadiums, then why not? Why not think that America can do it on a rainy night against Stoke? But, again, I reiterate, huge points, 3 points that, at the end of the day, get us closer to that point objective. And now we kind of leave that in the past, shift focus and start thinking, okay, what's to come? obviously it's the two friendlies and then Leagues Cup. And then from there on out, obviously you're America, you're obligated to win any tournament. But regardless of how things end in that, now you got to hit the ground running when the league starts up again, right? You have that buffer against Puebla, which is great. It gives you another game to kind of just refine everything, or if not, just to kind of get yourself up and motivated, right? Score a couple of goals against Puebla, get your players roaming around and get them going, and then boom. Now you got a huge game against Cruz Azul. You got a huge game against Chivas. So really, the season starts to kind of pick up in that sense. Chris Ramirez asking, where would America finish in the Premier League? Mid-table, relegation battle? If you ask me, personally, Chris, if you ask me, I think we could be league champions. But that is just
Same here.
You know?
Same here. Yeah, same here. I mean,
absolutely.
Pep kind of ruined the league for them, and I think Jardine would fit in. So,
absolutely.
Now, I'll tell you this much. In a more realistic perspective, I think if you put Televisa with that type of money in the Premier League, I think we sign top players. I'll tell you that much. I really do believe that.
I think
we compete with those. Because a lot of people will laugh and say, oh, it's a Mexican team, right? You got to kind of put perspective ownership too. Like, where we'd be spending big if we were in Europe. It wouldn't just be like, oh, just Mexican players and these players from South America. No, like, even from a South America perspective, we're signing the best players that we could get from those leagues too. So just imagine us in the Premier League with that type of money that we're able to spend, that we do have. Televisa does have that money if they really wanted to invest, but they're not going to because there's no need in Mexico or in CONCACAF. With that being said, you put us in the Premier League and we're Newcastle-ish type team, better. We're Chelsea, we're United spending, we're Man City type of spending. Like, we're up there with those teams in spending if Televisa is able to.
Yeah, for me, if Televisa was able to kind of charge the way that, you know, the Premier League charges with their TV rights and everything, I do agree with you. I think America would, you know, potentially be able to bring in these big name players, not necessarily maybe your youngest players that are coming through the ranks, but some experienced players, absolutely. You know, I 100% will put my tinfoil hat on right now and tell you that America could potentially definitely win the Premier League. If not, definitely secure Champions League spot. I think, and as crazy as people may think, now I'm not saying that with this current squad right now, we would be able to do so, but I think that if you put America in the Premier League, give them that spending power of the Premier League, then America can definitely bolster up that squad and make a huge, huge title run. Because let's face it, coming to play in America is prestige, is football prestige. We have had the likes of ex-Real Madrid players, ex-Barcelona players, you know, players that have had weight in their career, and they've decided to come play with America. And that should speak volume, you know? And so I think that if given the opportunity, America could definitely compete for the Premier League. And so, and I know as crazy as that sounds, some people will listen back to this and think, wow, they really went off the road on this one. But again, it's to reiterate, not with this current squad right now, but definitely if you give America the opportunity to go into the Premier League, spend that Premier League
money. With the wallet.
Yeah.
With that wallet.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Just quick question while we're entertaining this topic. Give me two players that you would keep from this current America squad in that Premier League America squad, and give me two players that you realistically think would come to America if we were in the Premier League.
So what city are we playing at? So before, are we still in Mexico City? We're just flying all the way over there?
No. That'd be crazy.
Okay. I want to know the living style before, so I can tell you that realistically.
Let's say we find a way to ship the Estadio Azteca on a new Titanic, and then we just move it over to, I don't want to say London. I feel like London's already jam-packed, but for all my geography nerds out there, what is between like Manchester and London that would be a suiting fit for America? Anywhere between that is where I would feel like America would
they
be
better,
placed.
They better answer this question.
Yeah.
Because we need it. So, I don't know. I ask also because I don't know if you've been paying attention to the Italian team, Como. Like, they're signing, like, all these, like, Champions League players that won it and all that. Like,
yeah, they signed
Rafael Varane. You look at their lifestyle, and it's beautiful. Yeah, it's, like, beautiful city and everything. So, yeah. Obviously, it would really matter from that perspective. But I'll name the players that I think I'd keep, right? I'd keep Cáceres because I think Cáceres is being looked at right now as a potential player for Tottenham, Napoli, all these players, all these teams, right? To me, I think he keeps up with that league. It gets tough. It gets tough when you really think about it. Fidalgo, because I think Fidalgo could play for that in that pace too. And I'm gonna go Henry Martin, bro. I don't care. I'm super biased when it comes to Henry, and I think Henry Martin could be your like your Che Adams in Southampton type player. I think he's like gonna be like the super low key striker from these like that could compete, right? And obviously, I'd probably bring in someone, you know, to compete with them. But yeah, those three players would be my three guys.
Well, you're not alone. Chris Murray is saying Cáceres and Henry for sure.
Yeah.
So. Look at that. I like it. I would, honestly, I think I would pick the same. I think it would be Cáceres and Fidalgo, or Cáceres and Henry. I think those are two good shouts. Probably two of our most better players.
I think
players.
It's three. My bad. I think
it's three, two, players. Whatever. It's the same. The more the merrier. But yeah, two players, though. Two players that you think would sign for America.
I would go for Rodrigo, and I would go with Cole Palmer because he'd be there.
You think Cole Palmer would go play for America?
Yes, I do think that.
He's barely gonna know America right now when he. Well, maybe he knows him from other times, but okay, Cole Palmer and Rodrigo.
All the money at him, I do. I don't know, bro. You're right. I'm trying to think of other players.
It's I like the Rodrigo signing.
Oh, Rodrigo's super underrated. I think he'd be perfect on that left side. And I'm trying to think of someone else, but I'll be honest with you, bro. I'm like a hater when it comes to like modern day European soccer right now. I don't know who has like this impact. I think everyone's mostly like a system player. Yeah. If I'm being honest with you. So okay. It's like, who do I put in that's like a real impact, like back in the day? Like, if you were to tell me anybody in history, well, there's a lot of players, right?
Yeah, but well, nowadays, that's a different story.
Nico Williams, maybe. That's why I'd probably say that. Nico Williams is someone I'd probably look into.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Nico would be amazing. Yeah. I like it. I would personally, if I had the spending power and America was in the Premier League, I would definitely try to bring in Rafael Leão. I think he'd be fantastic. For us on that left hand side, gives me Quiñones vibes. and then I don't know. I feel like I would bolster up the midfield too. I would go with someone that's been proven in the Premier League that I think would come to America. Who could that be?
I think Raheem Sterling is probably believable too.
He's been all Raheem, over the place. Raheem would be believable. I don't know.
It's hard. Bro.
I'm drawing a blank here. I'm drawing a blank as to who.
Impact, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking someone who come in, make a good impact, but also wouldn't be out of the realm of thinking that America could sign him.
Kante.
I would just bring back Guido, to be honest.
Or Edson.
he already plays in the Premier League. Just bring Edson. If we're doing Mexicans, I'd bring Ochoa back too. Just give him the chance.
Give him a chance
to play the prime.
I think everyone's about to make a joke about relegation.
No.
Yeah, we're getting relegated because of Ochoa.
No. Don't do my boy wrong. But yeah, that's our little tinfoil hat moment for us and America potentially going into the Premier League. Let's talk a little bit about transfer rumors before we wrap up here. It's been very quiet for America in the transfer market for the past week. Should that be a sign of concern for us and for other Americanistas, or do you think this is just America working in the background and kind of taking steps quietly? Because I think right now in the moment, it's kind of hard for America to do anything because, well, honestly, there's no room to make any new signings, especially in the foreign department.
Yeah, Oh, yeah, man. Personally, I am concerned because you see, I follow some of these reporters, right, that cover us, and they get asked questions, and they say, oh, they're interested, but they're not going to get, they're going to go not go into them, right? Like, Jurado, for example, they supposedly we're not going to be in that signing. They find them too expensive. And that's where I'm kind of concerned, right? Because, like, we've been talking about that left wing, and it's just like someone needs to come in. And you kind of look at the left winger Mexican room, right? Who can you bring in that's cheap? No one, right? Chucky just signed with San Diego. And personally, I would have hated a Chucky Lozano signing because I'm not a fan of selfish wingers like that. And then after that, who do you get? Chino Huerta? Very similar. I'm not that big of a fan. I don't think he sucks or anything, but I do think he's one of those players that are the best way I could explain these type of wingers, like Chino Huerta, is they look like they're doing so much when they're just running around, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of a turn off to me, which some people may like, some people don't like. I personally just not a fan of that. I think Antuna does the same thing. They just run to run. And outside of that, you got two youngsters that I would bring in, which is Jurado and Carrillo. Wait, the Jordan Carrillo from Santos, right? I think that's his last name. And they say they're not interested, or they're interested, and they're not interested for the price. Well, after that, who do you like? You know, you hear Richard, they still want Richard in the team. You hear Brian, they still want Brian in the team. Well, if Fidalgo leaves, right, and they're saying they sent offers, but they rejected them because they're not enough. Well, what exactly is the plan, right? Because we've talked about it before. These transfer windows, it's long, right? But it's not, like, super long either. It's one of those things where season could be starting for them in Europe, and they decide to purchase someone. Well, now for us, it's kind of like, all right, well, where do we look, right? It ends in September. We're entering August. We've seen how long they take with these negotiations, right? Do we already have a pre-agreement right now with someone that could fall off? What exactly is the thing? And to me, I have there's no sign for me to believe that Baños or anyone in the Directiva is prepared for any of this. Why? Because we knew Quiñones was leaving, and what happened? They went and got Chiquito Sanchez. Like, if Fidalgo was the first one to leave, okay, I understand. Or Diego Valdez was the first one to leave, I understand. But you went and got him, and it was kind of like a greedy signing. And now we're looking at that left side. And like I said, like, whether you believe in Brian Rodriguez or not, if he doesn't come through, who do you have after that? People don't like Sendejas on that left side. Okay, well, who is it? You know, who's going to be that guy? And I told you before, or I told you in the group chat, when we were talking the lineup against Tigres, brother, I don't know who's a left winger in these academy players. Like, I don't know anyone. Are we just taking players anywhere? And it's kind of a frustrating thing. And to me, it is concerning. This whole thing is just super concerning, and we need to figure things out soon because there is a hole. A big hole in that left side.
Absolutely. And you know what? I would want to say, and I would want to hope that this Directiva knows what they're doing just because of how well they planted themselves last season. And then this season, it looks like they were starting to make moves that were sensible, and then they started signing a bunch of just rotational players for no reason to cover up that midfield that has more bodies than, you know, I don't know. I don't know where my analogy was going. But regardless, you're making signings that aren't as sensible as they should be. So there's coming this criticism that, okay, why do we need Alan Cervantes? Why do we need Jose Iván Rodríguez? Why do we need these types of players? Why, I would even go off and say, why do you need a Chiquito Sanchez? You know? So I would imagine that they feel this tension and this pressure already. Can you imagine what the criticism is going to be if you let a 2-month transfer window go by and you didn't replace the one player that you knew from the beginning that was going to be leaving that I think is crazy to even fathom, that they would not be able to bring in a player when they had, what do you want, 3-4 months in advance notice. So I want to give them hope and faith. And I, this is why I say this week is so crucial for America, and maybe even next week too, just to bring in those players, move the pieces that you need to move around, right? Richard seems to be the most viable option. Cáceres looks like there might be potential offers for him, and his adventures to Europe might be starting soon. So a foreigner spot definitely could be opening up within the next couple of days, maybe the next week. And if that is the case, then boom, perfect. Then if that happens, then you have to bring in a top left winger to fill in that gap. And the sooner you bring him in, the better, because the sooner he can come and adapt to the Jiménez system, because he's going to have some games under his belt. Leagues Cup will help. And then he can get ready for the start of the season. But you need to bring in that player ASAP. No ifs, buts, or maybes. Like, get what you need to get done. Open that foreigner spot. And get the ball rolling. Really, I mean, that's the best way you can kind of put it.
And the frustrating thing about all of this, bro, is that when we won the 14, we had this conversation, and everyone had this conversation. Players are going to leave. And players are going to leave in December, because what did the boss say? We're keeping everyone. We're going to try to win this 15 instead of destroying this team. And now summer's here. And we all came into this summer transfer window with the idea, okay, Fidalgo is going to have options. Cáceres is going to have options. Brian is going to have options. Quiñones is going to have options. Sendejas is going to have options. Richard is probably a guy that's going to want minutes, right? And Nestor Araujo, another guy that we kind of looked at and said, okay, this guy needs to leave.
Got it.
There's a lot of contract things that we had to. Yeah, so it's kind of like, what exactly are we doing? Mind you, when they give them the 2 years, right, and they haven't officially announced it, so I don't even know how official that is, right? But when the news came out, I said, okay, maybe they're just like, it's an agreement for him to leave, right? Maybe they said, you're going to take a pay cut. No one's going to take that contract. We're going to give you a new contract. You agree to it. Now we could find you a home. Where it isn't annoying, right? It isn't annoying to just, like, we don't have to tear up a contract. Someone could just take it from you, and you could negotiate even a lower one with them or a higher one or whatever the case may be. But, and we could make a good amount of money off of that sell or loan, whatever the case may be. And now it's looking at it, you're looking at it like, oh, well, it looks like he's going to stay, right? And now Richard, okay, well, Richard is going to leave because you bring in all your midfielders. Nope. Not even that. So it's like, what exactly is the plan for this, right? It's not clear. And the worst thing is, if the transfer window closes and we still have question marks, how do we three-peat? You know, like, how realistic does it become? Because it is an excuse, right, for a coach to say, I have no one for that left side. And you left me with someone. Remember, bro, last season there was games where he preferred to have Sendejas on that left side than put in Brian. You know, those are signs Absolutely. Of not really believing in him. You go and bring in another left back after getting rid of two and one that could potentially play that left wing. Like, we're prioritizing that left side, but on the wrong side of it, right? Is one player going to transition into a wing, or what exactly is the case with all this, right? And like I said, if there was an academy player that I could sit here and be like, you know what, they're going to give that kid minutes. I don't know if I believe in them. I don't know if he's good or not, but that's a plan. They're going to develop him. Cool. All right, cool, right? We accept it. But right now, who do we have? Like you said, we played Fidalgo as a left winger. What is the need of that? You're kind of handicapping him too, because we saw what we did against the Juarez. He's not a left winger. He's a center mid. And he's a center mid for a reason. So, and then we put Sendejas on that left side. it's confusing because now Sendejas has a bad game. We have the excuse of, well, he's not playing on the side where he dominated and scored, right? Like, I don't know. We need to bring in someone. Me, personally, I would go get a Jurado. I'd pay the money because, to me, that's an investment that's going to play out. It's just going to play out. If you watch the kid play, and I mean, you know me, bro. I'm not the type to sit here and brag about every Mexican player, believe that all of them could play in Europe, that all of them are super good, and then the moment they make a transfer that I don't like, they're all of a sudden bad. I'm not that type of person. For me, I'm looking at it from eye test, you know, just everything I see. And Jurado is one of those players that it's just like impact. Like we were talking about the European players. Impact player that doesn't need a system, because if you need him to play 1v1 against a fullback, he's gonna win those matchups because he's that talented. So for me, I would invest in that. And if you can't bring in someone else, at least you got someone that's super promising, 19 years old, and you could end up selling for a high price because we've done it before.
Yeah, you know what? America might back themselves up into that corner and have to kind of splash the cash on the kid just because you waited so long. You can't see off any of these foreigners, so now you're left with no option but to buy the kid. So again, we'll see what business strategy America has kind of under their belt, and hopefully it means that we're sitting here in a week or 2 weeks time and thinking, okay, it panned out, it worked out, we see what the strategy was, and America ended up getting X, Y, and Z and offloading this person and that. And like I said, hopefully we sit here and talk about that in a good sense rather than sit here and criticize America, as we're down here to the wire. And we still have no answer, and we still have no idea on how this team is going to propel going forward. I think that's the one thing you can't do to the manager that brought you a bicampeonato, a campeón de campeones, a Supercopa. The last thing you can do is hang him to dry just because you didn't bring in the player that he wanted or he needed more than anything, which was a left winger.
And the sad thing is that, remember, when Quiñones left, me, you, and Christian said, it needs to be a bomba. It can't be. Now we're at a point where bringing someone, bro, because we have a hole that we need to cover, right? Yeah. It's sad, but that's where our directiva is. I think they gave Baños the key again, and Baños said, you know what? I'm going to make my friends rich by signing their players. Conspiracy, I'm not here to accuse anyone. Maybe it isn't that the case or anything, but let's remember, back in the day, that's what every fan used to say. Baños is signing from one agency, and I don't know where these guys came from, but it just doesn't make sense to me, and it doesn't make sense to you, it doesn't make sense to anyone, and it's confusing, you know?
Yeah, and I'm hoping we don't go down that rabbit hole ever again. So, like I said, hopefully, fingers crossed, things get done, and hopefully Emilio Escarraga is kind of, you know, ringing their ear a little bit and be like, hey, like, I need my team to be competitive. Enough with these kind of makeshift signings. Like, bring in someone and bring them in now. So, hopefully that is the case. But that's all I got right here in regards to the transfer window market. Just keep up to date with everything going on with Las Águilas and America. Follow us over on Twitter at Eagle Eye Podcast. I will keep you guys up to date minute by minute of what's going on with America and their summer transfer window. And we'll get you guys ready ahead of these two friendlies against Chelsea and Aston Villa as well. But we'll be back next week to talk more in depth. I know Chris is waiting with his Chelsea handbook right there, ready to preview everything going on with his team overseas. But yeah, I can't wait. Should be fun. Should be great. Anything else to add on, Chris, before we wrap up the show?
No, nothing. Excited for that Chelsea game because, I mean, I always say, man, no European team is ever going to take my love for America, but it is dope to see, you know, matches with someone a team that I ended up liking later on in life, you know, so.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited for that.
Absolutely, and I always have fond memories of America going up against Chelsea, like, back in 2008, I want to say, or 2009. Or was it? Yeah, I think it was 2008. And America ended up winning in penalties. So
I don't remember that, but
no, I'll send videos. I'll post them on our Twitter. I'll post them on our Twitter so you can relive those memories. And I'm sure you must have watched the game. Didier Drogba played against us.
I just remember the AC Milan game. I think it was that year against Ronaldinho. I think it was Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
So I remember that.
Yeah, we played against Chelsea first. Navarrete showing off his skills against Chelsea.
Brother, you posted a picture today that gave me like a bad chill. I thought I got the flu, bro. That's how bad it felt. You know, I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, it was bad years.
Bad memories.
Yep. All right, then. Well, thank you so much to everyone that came out tonight and was posting on the chat. Diego Temo Henry Ochoa, that was one person. Gershon, you know, King Crash. And, of course, Chris Ramirez. Thank you to all of you guys watching and to all of you guys listening. This was fun. This was great. And hopefully you guys enjoyed it. And we'll be back, like I mentioned, next week to talk things, all things Football America and these next two matches up against Premier League sides. And then after that, then we'll start talking about the new best league in Leagues Cup format ever, which is America's integration into the Leagues Cup and what this means for the club and how. And I will debate with Chris as to why this league is as important, if not more important, than the CONCACAF Champions Cup.
It's going to get heated. So you better be here. It's going to get heated.
Absolutely. All right. But with that said, Chris, thank you so much for taking out the time. It was great. Great talking to you.
Always, brother. You know, I'm here every week if I'm still alive, brother.
Absolutely. And shout out to Christian, who is out in Cancun right now. I was wondering why the podcast funds were a little bit shorter than what last month's were. Looks like this Christian decided to take a nice little vacation. So shout out to him.
Bro, that he's so rich. And watch, I'm willing to bet he's going to be in the first game for the Jets, bro. And I think it's like a Monday night football game, too. He's going to be there front row and everything.
Wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me one bit. But all right, we'll catch you guys next week. We'll talk all things Football America. Follow us over on Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and follow us over on Twitter at Eagle Eye Podcast as well. Keep you guys up to date with everything. All right, with that said, you guys have a wonderful time, wonderful night. Until then, take care. And as always, Arriba America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.